It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the show. 2 hours of the Hurricane Hotline coming up. What a great show lined up for you tonight. We are going to look back at the Miami-Florida State game from Saturday with our montage put together expertly by our producer, Trevor Harris. Mario Cristobal joins the show for the Mario Cristobal Show. Don Bailey Jr. joins us to take a look at Duke. And then hour number two, we dive into basketball. Jim Larrañaga will be with us tomorrow. They'll have an exhibition game, and new University of Miami women's basketball coach Tricia Cullop also joins the show. So that's all coming up in hour number two as the basketball season begins, well, a week from yesterday. Next Monday, basketball begins. Both the men and women will be in action next week. We'll have the game for you next Monday night on Waxy 790 as the Canes begin play against Fairleigh Dickinson. So we'll talk about Hurricanes basketball with Jim Larrañaga in hour number two, along with Tricia Cullop as well. Hour number one, Mario Cristobal will be joining us. Look back at Florida State, preview Duke. Saturday, 8 o'clock in the morning is our pregame show. Breakfast and the Canes on Saturday, 8 a.m. pregame show. We'll kick things off from Hard Rock Stadium at 12 p.m. Manny Diaz and the Duke Blue Devils come calling as Miami looks for their ninth straight win. 8-0. Ranked fifth in the country this past Saturday, the rivalry game, Miami and Florida State, and this is the way it sounded.
Ryan Fitzgerald will kick it off. Miami has Chris Johnson back deep on the near side hash mark, or rather the far side hash mark. Jordan Lyle near side hash mark. Miami will go right to left as we face the field. Sellout crowd on their feet, all in orange. Miami in black head to toe, Knowles. White jerseys, gold pants, Miami and FSU for the 69th time. One of the great rivalries in college football. And away we go! Fletcher to the right shoulder of Ward. Claps his hands. Takes. Fires. Caught. Brown trying to make a miss. He's got the 10 at the 5. Brown's down to the 2-yard line. Brown gets down to the 2, and Miami's knocking on the touchdown door. 19 more yards. Cam Riley makes the Florida State tackle. Ward ducks in under Carpenter. He waits. He takes. He gives. It's Fletcher. Cuts back and walks into the end zone. Standing up for a touchdown. Precisely the start that Miami wanted. Fletcher scores on a 1-yard touchdown for the curtain raiser at Hard Rock Stadium. And it's 6-0 Miami. Five receivers in the pattern for Cam Ward as he takes, drops, steps up in the pocket, throws, caught. Martinez at the 40 of Florida State, 35, cuts right to the 30. Inside the 30, down to the 27-yard line. And Miami picks up the first down. Ward will take and give. Martinez breaks a tackle. He's got the 10 at the 5, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami! Baby and Martinez rumbles into the end zone. 18 yards for the touchdown. And Miami leads it 13-0 at Hard Rock Stadium. 14-7 lead. Ward to throw. Now moving to his left. Now stepping up. Moves to his right. Gets away from one. Now goes to his left side. Still looking. Throws on the run and is caught for a first down. Cam Ward produces his magic again. 20-yard field goal attempt for Bora Gallus. 8-for-9 on field goals this year. Slight angle off the left hash mark. 20-yard attempt. Snap comes back. And Bora Gallus swings the leg and sends it through. And Miami has a 17-7 lead over Florida State. 41-yard field goal for Bora Gallus. Between 40 and 49, he's 1-for-2. Joyce will hold it. Kick is on the way. He's got plenty behind it. And this one, he sails right down the middle.
There you go.
Roman Hawk. On a bootleg right, wants to look next left. Now trying to evade and dodge, and Barrow shot him at the 45-yard line. Simeon Barrow plants him, and Barrow has his fifth sack of the year.
That's it. Big Simeon keeps working it.
Fourth and four. Knowles have been dry on third downs, but fourth downs, 3-for-4. And here comes the crowd noise of the fans on a fourth and four to Miami 36.
Quarterback runner throw.
Romanoff to throw a blitz. He's hit once, twice, and down he goes! Down he goes!
Slow to get up!
Tyler Barron delivers the knockout blow! Another 44-yarder for Boren Gallus. He's 2-for-2 tonight from 20 and 42. This one from 44 for a 23-7 lead. Toward the east end zone off the left hash mark. Good snap. Kick on the way. Plenty behind it. And Boren Gallus is good again. Boren Gallus puts Miami in front 23-7 at Hard Rock Stadium with 39 seconds to go in the third quarter. George in motion. Ward's going to look for the end zone. Fires, caught at the 10. Down to the 9, 8, 7-yard line goes Isaiah Horton. A foxy flick of the fingers by Cam Ward produces a 13-yard pass play, and Miami's knocking on the touchdown door. We're about ready to bring the curtains down on the show. Ward ducks in under center. Takes the snap. Toss to Martinez. It's going to be a pass by Arroyo. He throws. It's caught. Ward's got it for a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami. The moment of magic that Miami wanted. And it comes courtesy of Arroyo, the Cam Ward. And Miami leads it 29-7. 12 yards away. Ward takes, gives Martinez right up the middle into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. Martinez scores, and the sword falls on Florida State. Miami 35, FSU 7, and Damian Martinez just puts a cherry on top of the cake. Hurricanes will have a new quarterback. I believe that's Poffenbarger. Take the snap, hand it away to Jordan Lyle, and that should do it. That's going to be all here at Hard Rock Stadium after 3 straight years of FSU delight and 2 years after being humiliated by Florida State. The Hurricanes stick the spear into the Seminole hearts. Miami 36, Florida State 14. That's your final score at Hard Rock Stadium. Hurricanes remain undefeated and go to 8-0, and Florida State falls to 1-7. 36-14 is our final score.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki, my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr., and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes are home at 12 o'clock against the Duke Blue Devils, so help us out. Fill up that stadium at Hard Rock Stadium. The Hurricanes 8-0, ranked number 5 in the country, and state champs. Coach, great win against Florida State, and now you're state champs as well.
Well, I think first and foremost, it was important to thank the fans that came out. Fans, family, friends, alumni that came out, and they created an unbelievable environment and were certainly impactful. So, you know, got the ever-important W against our biggest rival in state, one of the two biggest rivals in state, and now on to the next one.
Well, Coach, you're state champs, and you do it in front of a homecoming crowd for the university, but also it was one heck of a homecoming for former players. It was a who's who on that sideline. And when you look around and you see all the great names of the past, how does that influence these young men today that are on this football team?
You wish they were still playing and slap a helmet on them so they could go make some plays for us. But these guys grew up watching those guys. Their families grew up watching those guys. And to see them in such large numbers and so animated, so involved, it's an incredible feeling. And it's what made Miami, Miami, you know, a while back. And, you know, sure enough, we're progressing towards that once again.
Coach, you dive into this one. I don't think there was ever a threat really in this game. I thought you dominated right from the get-go. You scored on 7 of 8 possessions. Cam Ward hit 9 different receivers. Damian Martinez, 148 yards rushing. Florida State, a season low in passing yards, 115. And you had 31 first downs.
Really proud of our guys. I mean, they when they came out, that energy was, again, electric. So right away, just took the first possession, went right down and scored and got up by a couple of scores and took command of the game. And certainly just kept plugging away. It was body blow after body blow after body blow. And our guys just kept finding ways to keep making plays both on offense and defense and keep pulling away. And, you know, a bunch of guys got to play there at the end as well. So they got a piece of the rivalry game.
Coach, I'm going to jump on special teams early this afternoon. When you go come off the last game, you show great improvement. But let's talk about Napper the Snapper, Mason, right? He did a great job. And then the Washington brothers were there, Patterson, Pruitt. I mean, just the accumulation of people that improved the level of special teams play against Florida State.
We grew up special teams-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, we challenged those guys and flat out just went right after them. You know, we're not – being mature enough in our approach to the game. Because if you're on special teams, that's a badge of honor now, right? You've got to represent. So many great players for so long started their careers on special teams at the University of Miami. And we weren't covering that way. And at Louisville, we embarrassed ourselves in the way we covered. And so we went at it hard and direct, coached them hard. They responded extremely well. And they played their butts off. They really did.
It seemed to me the Florida State, their approach to the game on defense, and I thought their best assets were in the secondary. It seemed to me they were going to say, okay, if you're going to beat us, try to beat us through the air, because we don't think that you're going to have the patience to run it. But you ran it 40 times, and Damian had a huge game. And
no
so
doubt.
Did Fletcher.
No doubt. You know, we average about 12, 13, 14 possessions a game, and I think you know, the plan was probably to limit our possessions. We had a total of 8. We scored on 7. So imagine, you know, with the math, a couple more possessions, how that scoreboard keeps lighting up more and more and more. And they were daring us to run the ball. And our guys came off the football, and they were really physical and got some really big chunk plays, important plays, kept the sticks moving, and did a great job scoring.
Elijah Arroyo, Coach, we've talked about him being a great athlete and all the things that he does with the football in his hand, but didn't know he's such a great left-handed quarterback as well. He looked good.
We found that by accident, you know. To have a lefty to make that play go left, it's something that you don't really see much. He had a lot of satisfaction in having a higher completion percentage than Cam Ward.
But by the way, to pick up on the run game, that had to be a real source of pride for you as well, because when you played in those Florida State games, even you, Don, those were always like 1 yard for either team was hard to get. And to watch your team grind it out at 7 yards a carry, and Fletch have the big game, and the offensive line really perform well in the run game, which, by the way, creates a more comfortable, I think, situation for Cam Ward as the season unfolds. You had to be proud of that.
Without a doubt. All credit goes to the players. I mean, they worked their tails off. And we've done it in practice. You know, just the way some of the games have gone, it's lended a little bit more to the pass than to the run. But we've always been balanced in our approach. And now that the opportunity presented itself, all that work, it was just like practice. It was just like going out there and do what we do on Green Tree every day. So great to see, fun to see as well. And was glad to see some of those big guys have an opportunity to get their cleats in the ground and get their flat backs going and hands inside and rolling.
One of those big guys, Zach Carpenter, had a challenge going into that game, and he accepted it and excelled at it.
He did. He's one that really created some great movement at the point of attack and did a great job with the A-gaps and certainly in protection as well.
And the receivers, going against, I think, a pretty good secondary, Horton made some big catches, Brown made some big catches. When needed, there were some tight needles to be thread there for Cam Ward, and guys came down with the football.
They did. And you know what? The coverage was snug. You know, credit to the secondary for Florida State. They did a good job. And, you know, when we did have some small windows in right there, I think Cam did a nice job just being accurate, putting the ball in a spot where only we could catch it. And our guys came down with some contested balls, drew a pass interference, drew a holding call as well, that were critical in moving the sticks. And a lot of people don't talk much about the check down, but a check down on 3rd and 20 and making a guy miss and running through another one was also the difference in a scoring drive for us.
Coach, you still feel real comfortable about going on 4th down. You've done that quite a bit the last couple of weeks. What are some of the thoughts that go into that call?
Well, I mean, schematically, we invest a lot in short yardage, you know, in critical areas or whatnot, and understanding what a defense is trying to do and assessing and analyzing matchups. It's not a reckless approach, I promise. You know, I'm not playing, you know, John Madden football on there. It's there's some analytical stuff, but it's also a gut thing too. You know, our vantage point on the field allows you to really see the line of scrimmage. And if you feel good about matchup, about hat position, about leverage and numbers, if the math, you know, says yes, you know, you're going to go with it.
You're 60% on 3rd down, which is number one in the country. That's pretty good.
Well, you know what? That's good to know, but all that matters is that particular statistic continues to get better, so that we're that at the end of the year. And I think our players realize that, because we made it a huge point of emphasis this morning, is that I don't think anyone thinks that we're doing as good as we can do. And I'm talking about the people within the program. There's lots of areas that we can get better at that could lead to a better 3rd down conversion rate. And our guys are committed to doing so well. Again, great practice today, and we're looking forward to getting after it tomorrow.
Coach, your defense held Florida State to 248 total yards, and included in that number, of course, is a 43-yard run by their quarterback. But overall, they were very stingy in giving up any yards.
They were. I mean, they were physical at the line of scrimmage. They really did a great job up front, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback. And as a team, we played well together, making them one-dimensional, you know. And we felt that if we could get to that point, the advantage would squarely be in our hands. And I think the secondary did a great job communicating, albeit one play. Did a really, really good job just making sure that they understood exactly what they were doing and how they were going to do it. And that led to just an excellent performance by those guys.
Held them to 115 yards passing in modern-day college football. 115 yards passing, three sacks, four tackles for losses, and four breakups. So secondary did their job.
They did. They did their job. And you know what? They were complemented by a great front seven. They really were. They put heat on the quarterback, forced some balls to come out a little bit early. We missed a quarterback, you know, a good half dozen times. A great job by their quarterback just getting free and creating some time and space. He got the ball off a couple times, and a couple times he ran past the stick. So certainly a lot to improve upon there. But we do feel that we've progressed and got better, and really proud of our defensive guys.
Coach, Xavier Restrepo steps up another notch in the greatest of all time, or the most yards of all time, and catches at Miami. But also, Horton had a big day with six catches, 65 yards.
And some critical ones as well. I mean, he gets better and better, more and more comfortable and just hungrier and more driven, really always working on his craft. And he's very dependable. We're going to keep working on everyone's blocking on the perimeter, because that becomes really critical. But you know, Zay has really stepped up. He's done a really, really good job for us, and sky's the limit for him.
Now, it's a twofold conversation, I guess. Borregales continues to nail the field goals. He talked about special teams, but he hits the three field goals. But you also took the points, because, in that game, it just called for piling on the points, right? Putting the distance, breathing room, because they have struggled on offense.
Creating separation, you know, got to do what's best for the team. I mean, especially down, you know, at halftime, right before halftime, we felt that an extra 4 or 5 seconds ticked off after one of the plays that we had down there, because we've been very good at that. But we found ourselves having to use our last timeout, and we were down to a play plus a field goal or a go for it, and said, you know what, let's make this a 2-score game now so that we continue to create separation as the game goes on.
Which we hit on a little bit, but I don't think people realize the magnitude of the long drives that you had in that game, and that you had 31 first downs. And to drive the length of the field again and again and again, it really helps your defense also, because you're chewing up so much time of possession.
No doubt. You limit the amount of snaps your defense has to be on the field. I think in the first half, they were on the field for 22 snaps. You know, that really lends to your offense just continuing to wear down the other side, and your defense being fresh coming out for the second half.
All right, we will continue with Mario Cristobal coming up momentarily. Hour number two, Jim Larrañaga will be with us. I was having this conversation the other day. You know, when you go into a business, you want to be the main focus. When you go into the business and you're shopping around, you want the customer service to be top shelf. You want it to be at an 11. And the place you can find customer service like that, where the focus is going to be on you, the customer, where you're going to feel like family, that place is Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership founded over 50 years ago. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, general manager, Jeff Rogers, they are more than a dealership. They are our friends and neighbors. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, and we're getting closer now to the holidays, I highly recommend Williamson Cadillac. Go in today, experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, easy to find, located on US 1 on located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Check out the inventory. They're going to have everything: the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the all new electric Lyric. Every single day, new vehicles are arriving at Williamson. So get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
This week, the Hurricanes return home, or will be at home, against the Duke Blue Devils. 12 o'clock kickoff. Miami and Duke Blue Devils come in 6-2. 21st meeting between Miami and Duke. Hurricanes have won 6 of the last 9. And this is a team, Duke, coming off a crazy game, a 1-point loss. But you can see their identity, right?
Without a doubt. Very physical defense, very physical offensive line. The quarterback does a great job getting the ball out, accurate, on time. And he can hurt you with his feet as well. And they've got some really dynamic playmakers in the backfield and on the perimeter as well. And their defense has forced more turnovers than anyone else in the country. They lead or are second or third in the country in tackles for losses. Their sack rate is extremely high, top 20 in the country. They lead the conference in so many defensive categories that our guys had a chance to watch them yesterday and today, and they understand how well these guys play together and how many good players they have on their team.
Coach, when you look at the ball game, and I've watched some of it already, but Duke had 6 takeaways and 3 other opportunities as well where the ball was on the ground. That never happens that you lose that game. So that teaches you that it does happen. I mean, that you can lose a game even though you're winning a giveaway takeaway like
Without
that.
Without a doubt. It's like until the clock strikes zero, right? You see, so every single weekend you're seeing examples. And when you take away 6 and you have an opportunity for 3 more, that's a pretty frightening, right, predicament to being on the other side. And they were in position to win the game there at the end and had a field goal blocked. And in overtime, you know, had a 2-point conversion not converted by them. And that was the difference in the game. So like so many games in the conference, anybody could be on the winning side of these last possession games. And certainly they're a team that is very well coached, and they got a lot of good players.
I want to ask you about their tackles for losses in a second, but you mentioned the field goal is blocked. I've never seen anything like it. Jafari Harvey, who was here, he jumped over there. He jumped over him like the broad jump and then blocked it.
Great job by him. And again, it's a game-saving play by him.
They're number 2 in the nation in tackles for losses, 8.9 per game. So imperative, I imagine, staying at the change when you do that against Duke probably frustrates them a little bit if you are not allowing them to get to their game.
Well, you know what? They get you behind the chains. They put you off schedule, right? All of a sudden, you're in 2nd and 12, 2nd and 13, 3rd and long. And that's when they could dial up some of the exotic pressures on 3rd down, try to confuse your IDs, your points, what you're going to do with your offensive line on protection downs like that. So you have to be really good up front. You have to be really good as a quarterback, putting you in the right play. You have to take advantage of your opportunities and not waste any plays, because if you do, you're going to find yourself in 3rd and long, and success rate on 3rd and long is not very good anywhere.
Coach, you mentioned the quarterback, Malik Murphy, and he's 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, but he's got some guys on the outside that are dependable as well.
He does. He's got speed. He's got size. He's got guys that can make you miss and go the distance. He's got guys that can beat man coverage, and guys that do a really nice job versus zone coverage as well. And, conceptually, they're just really, really good. They call a great game. Their concepts are difficult to defend. They give you a lot of different pictures, a lot of different formations, and they're a really good football team.
Yeah, to your point, and Don, plus they've got experience. Moore, that'd be his 44th game. Pan Cole, his 52nd game. Higgins, his 31st game. And Moore and Pan Cole both are over 100 receptions, or Pan Cole's closing in on that career-wise. So these guys have caught a lot of footballs.
Caught a lot of footballs and played in a lot of big games.
Yeah.
And the value of experience down the stretch here in November is invaluable, right? The more guys that have seen a lot and done a lot in big games, the better for your football team. So we're very well aware that we have to have a great week of practice and have to be very detailed in our preparation.
Coach, it seems that this, I noticed it in the post game in the locker room, that this team understands that this, the business-like approach that they need to take week in and week out. And as big a win as it was against Florida State, I got the feeling when that game was over, and they're ready to go be 1-0 against Duke.
This team, it's getting better. Mm-hmm. This team acknowledges reality and truths, and the fact that, look, it's awesome. It's November, and the University of Miami is playing relevant football. And If you don't take care of business, that comes to an end. You know, so it's not where you are right now. It's where you want to be and how you want the whole thing to end. And I think our guys understand that, that the daily investment in this thing has to be every ounce that you have. And so they're certainly mentally just developing, growing, pushing each other. Just great human beings and great competitors that just want to get better. I mean, I really am looking forward to tomorrow's practice.
Coach, this is, you know, we always talk about this, but probably more important now than ever before. It's roster management. And you've done a remarkable job of managing this roster with a blend of veterans and young players. And I think Don and I would agree with this, that from the United standpoint, the way your team is united, we haven't seen this here in a long time. How were you able to pull this all together?
You got to credit the players with that. I mean, they we have really good coaches and good leadership, and you present the information, you present the guidelines and the blueprint, but you know, essentially at some point in time and eventually they have to take it over, and they've done a great job taking it over. They really have. And I think they've done a great job staying mad, you know, and not being content with anything. They just want to get better and better. But they have invested a lot of time being around each other and doing all kinds of different things, from breaking bread to going out and getting on a boat, fishing, paintballing, you name it. They've done it. And they've gotten to know each other really well. And the only way you can respect someone and like someone and trust someone is if you get to know them and work with them. There's been a lot of work. They've been through a lot, and it's reflected in the way they are with each other on the sideline during adverse moments. I mean, they are, it's a really unique bond and one that's going to only get stronger as the season goes on.
Coach, the value of all the recruits, and there were a lot of recruits here, to come into Hard Rock, sold out Hard Rock, to see Miami beat Florida State for the first time in 3 years, to see all the former football players there, just that whole experience. What were some of the comments of the players, or how did that affect them? Because it just couldn't have been any better.
No, it's a super wow factor. I mean, if anyone that was there was just blown away by all that stuff. And for us, as important as that was, so they could see the cool and the fun side, now, like, we want to get these guys back here, these recruits back here for practice, because they have to like what we do. They have to see us coach. They have to see how hard we push. They have to see how competitive it is for that to be a reality on Saturdays. And they got to fit that. So even though there were 250, whatever there was, it was more than you could ever imagine. But it still has to be about the right ones. And the right ones, if they're attracted to that environment and that type of competitive rivalry, awesome. But now they got to come to practice. And they got to see how we lift, how we run, how we hit, right? And how we do things. And they got to buy into that blueprint.
And then you go, Coach, then you bring them to the campus and we talk about this University of Miami and the opportunity for the education that it provides as well.
No doubt. The private school setting is one of a kind. And what the administration has done here and what Joe Echevarria is going to be doing, our president, current president, is going to be doing with the university, it's going to a different level. And they're going to create separation. They're going to create a gap between us and our competitors.
You had a vision when you got here a couple years ago. And now this year, we can pretty clearly see your vision. We're state champs, and those wins against the Florida teams, by the way, have been by comfortable margins. So along the recruiting lines, is it easier maybe, with all the things you just talked about, for them to see your vision considering some of these results?
I think validation is critically important because the off season is long, right? And you preach what your plan is, and then come the season, there has to be validation or it has to be unvalidated, right? Well, there's a lot of validation, and probably the best part about it all is that we're already done with last week. Like, we're moving on. And I think players and parents sense that. They're like, okay, these guys are, they just aren't about the current moment and the hype. They're forward thinking, you know, forward moving. So it's been a great week, and we just want to keep getting better. That's all we want to do.
You say talk about putting the proof on tape. Well, you've done that by allowing the freshmen who are ready to play, play. And it doesn't matter if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior. If you're ready to play and can contribute, they will get on the plane and they will help Miami win football games.
Without a doubt. At playing time, there's no discrimination. No matter where you're from, how old or new you are, what you look like, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you could flat out help the Hurricanes win and you're doing the right things off the field, you're going to get an opportunity. More and more guys are getting opportunities, and that trend is going to continue to get stronger because we have recruited really, really well, and the foundation of this program is really strong.
They say to be a good red zone team, you have to be either creative and run the ball. So you were creative the other night with the Arroyo touchdown pass, but you've run it 40 times the last two games. Your red zone numbers the last two games, 11 touchdowns in 12 trips. So we're going into November, the time of the year where those things have to be really sharp, right? And the physicality has to show up.
It has to show up. The teams that you're playing are going to get better and better, right? The competition is going to get stronger. There's going to be changes in weather, right? You may be caught in the rain, cold, whatever it may be. It's the best time of the football season, right? And certainly we're super blessed to be playing relevant football, and all focus is on being 1-0.
Coach, Borregales, the kicker, he was 3-for-3, and he just keeps being consistent. That's what you asked for. But I think you have all the confidence in the world from him from 50 on. Who knows how far he can go, but what makes him so special at that spot?
Driven. He's just a relentless worker. He's all about his craft, and he's all about his teammates. Mm-hmm. That guy's as good of a teammate as you'll find out there. Reminds me a lot of my teammate back in the day, Carlos Huerta. Except, you know, and I'll apologize to Carlos later, but Andy's stronger, you know what I mean? He really is super dependable, and everybody trusts him. You know, the fact that he is, you know, in practice, we're in 56, 58 plus, it doesn't surprise anybody because he does it all the time. So it's a blessing to have Andy here. Awesome family. Just great to be around.
This team, like that team you talk about, is playing, I think, with the same kind of joy and teamwork. We'll wrap this up with it's Duke, 12 o'clock, early start. Need a lot of people in that stadium when the team comes out through the smoke to get them revved up to go 1-0.
No doubt. Another great opportunity. I know everybody there on this past Saturday had a blast. I mean, you see some of the videos that people put out there. People have been sending me all kinds. It's awesome, you know, and by 6 a.m. Sunday, I got to move on, you know, so I don't get to see any more. I'm sure there's more, but that's going to be replicated every Saturday. You know, we can't wait to see our fans there. We certainly need a home field advantage every single week, so looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday.
All right, Coach, best of luck against Duke.
Thank you. Go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, and we will continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Trevor Harris is our producer. Jim Larinaga, Tricia Cullop join us in hour number two. Canes and Duke on Saturday at 12 o'clock. We are on the air at 8 a.m. Don Bailey Jr. with us right now. Good evening, DBJ. Welcome back to the show as we celebrated a state championship, I guess, this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, Joe. I mean, you and I remember the days that would lead to a national championship a lot of times. So I'm excited about it. I think they did a great job, had a great showing against the Florida State team, and then to also have the Gator win and South Florida win under your belt, I think it's awful good.
Saturday was a workmanlike victory. I thought it was a smart win. Miami, I thought Florida State dared them to run the ball. They won. I think Florida State I keep saying this. People think I'm crazy, but I think Florida State wanted Miami to throw the ball into the teeth of their defense at some point. Yeah, they thought Miami would be impatient, and they were hoping to get a tip ball, an interception, a strip sack, something like that.
I'm with you, Joe. I really do. I think that they thought Miami was going to lose their patience. And Miami really, other than the Louisville game and then other than a few spurts, the running game has not proved to be dominant because it didn't have to be. And now I think it's, you know, you really sent a message to college football or the rest of your opponents that this football team is as balanced as you can get. And that's what you search for. And to have a running game that put up two games consecutively over 200 yards against pretty darn good defenses, in your conference, and that lets you work the system a little bit. And what I mean by that is, what's the defense going to do? You know, are they going to stop the pass? Okay, you can do that. You can try and shut it all down. But guess what? We've got the offensive line and the tight ends, and we certainly have a stable full of running backs that can make things happen.
Well, as I said the other night, and you and I have discussed this, when you have a running game at this time of the year, you're down to the final month, four games to go in the regular season. When you have a powerful run game with the quarterback that you have, it does create an even more comfortable environment for Cam Ward. It will take some of the burden off of him, and Miami can, because their offensive line, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, and once that happens, it gets you to everything else.
It really does, and you know, you look. I look at it another way, and I might be the only guy that does this, but you know, you say, how can running be help the whole team? How can a great running game help the whole team? Well, normally, the running game chews up the most time of possession, and you want to help your defense. You keep the other offense off the field, and Miami's got such a huge advantage in that category right now, and. You know, Miami has been able to, they went a lot of tempo. We saw that. That was a change from Coach Dawson in that game. They've picked that up, and that change up, you know, they did some against Louisville and a big dose of it against Florida State. So that's something else that the opponents are going to have to prepare for. But, you know, you keep that football away 5-6 minutes from the opposing offense, that's going to limit their scoring as well.
Defense played, I thought, a pretty good game the other night. Held Florida State to 100 and some yards, throwing their lowest total of the season. Now, obviously, Florida State is inept on offense, but at any rate, Miami held them to their lowest amount passing. I thought the tackling was pretty good. Probably a few more sacks out there that they could have had, but nonetheless, I thought the defense was pretty solid.
Yeah, I do too. And I think we just have to remind ourselves, you know, that secondary is brand new as far as the names and the locations of guys. I mean, you've got, you know, Powell who came in, and of course he was a very experienced player at a high level at Washington, but everybody else has had limited experience. So the communication improved there. They did a good job with that. You've got Frederick, who's a true freshman, who's starting football games. And you know, I've been going through this a long time. There's not too many true freshmen that can even be asked to start against Florida State, no matter what the situation is. And he was out there, and he did a real good job. So, you know, the defense was one of their better games. It really was. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, well, they went against, you know, a team with one win, but I'm just talking about executing the defense, because I can tell you this, that Bain and Mezador and Simeon Barrow, those guys were putting pressure on the quarterback. And I'm with you. They left a couple sacks out there, but they still had a good day.
Barron's got to get somebody on the ground here soon. He gets close. He hasn't had a sack since the Ball State game.
Yeah, I know it. It's putting pressure on him. He's got to get that thing rolling. And then Barrow is really found his niche, and it's good to see that. But I really like what happened at the end of the game, Joe. I don't like that Miami gave up a touchdown at the end of the game, but they sacrificed, you know, some points to get a lot of the youth in, and that's Mario Cristobal, you know, keeping his word that if you're good enough, no matter what time of the year it is or no matter what the situation is, if we feel that you can help us win or you can help us develop our second and third level guys, we're going to put you in the game, and we're starting to see a lot of that.
Now, Blount got in there. Justin Scott played a little bit. So some of these other young players getting in there. Defense is going to get a challenge this week. It's funny that I say that, because when you discuss Duke, you want to go right to the defense. They are a defensive-minded team. However, this quarterback, it's not going to take long for them to throw the ball deep. They will they will unleash it early in the game.
Yeah, he's going to take his shots. He's got two receivers that are our age. I mean, they've been in at Duke. Yeah. And in college football for forever, and they're both very productive. And Duke always seems to have that pair. You know, they've always seemed to be able to come up with two receivers that can make it happen. And their quarterback Murphy, he's got a good long ball, and then he can handle the short game too. It's that intermediate range that might be challenging to him, but he's somewhat without the run element, but he somewhat reminds me of the quarterback from South Florida. That guy's just going to hang in there, and he's going to make plays, and he's big enough to where he can sustain some pressure. If he takes some hits, he's not going to buckle on you. And he's had some big-time games.
Yeah, he throws the ball about 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you're right.
He's got fastball and fastball.
Yeah, fastball, fastball, fastball. But, you know, the other thing is, Texas recruited him. Texas signed him. That's a national recruit. Yeah.
Right, you're out of California. I mean, look, he was out in California. This has been the big knock on, you know, the school, USC and UCLA. They haven't been signing quarterbacks in their backyard.
Living proof right here. I mean, this guy comes from Cali and, you know, goes, stops at Texas and then moves on and makes his way to Duke. And he's starting and he's very productive. And you're talking about, you know, a team that's already bowl eligible.
On the other side, we know what Manny Diaz is going to do. We know what that identity is. It is negative play. So Miami's got to figure out how to neutralize Duke's ability to be disruptive up front. Most likely spread them out. Sometimes I think you handle that by going east and west before you go north and south.
Yeah, you know, it's Manny Diaz is, there's no question, you know, that Coach Rick brought him in to be his defensive coordinator, and then he became the head coach and hung his hat on the defensive side of the football. Was very, very smart to go out and get Rhett Lashley, and then he went up to Penn State for a couple years and did a heck of a job there, did a good enough job there to get the head coaching job at Duke, and now statistically, he's as good as anybody there is in the conference and better than most. And when you look at this deal, and he's got, you know, 71 tackles for loss and guys catching guys behind the line of scrimmage. And the thing that jumped out to me on tape about him and his defense is how hard they're playing. I mean, they are really giving an effort on every single snap. And a lot of the time, if you're just a good defense, now they're way better than good, that effort will get you some plays. And you see the quality of player that he has with the amount of effort they give. That's why they're winning football games.
Well, they're coming off a heartbreaking loss, which was pretty much attributed to a guy he recruited, Jafari Harvey, who leapfrogged the offensive line of Duke on a field goal and blocked the kick.
Yeah, I will tell you, when this year ends, that will, I'm sure, go down as one of the plays of the year. I mean, he was in a stance, took and exploded out of his stance and completely leaped over a 6'5", 300-pound offensive guard who was, you know, their mode of protection is to burrow down and not let anybody push you back. Well, you didn't have to push him back. He just jumped right over you and, you know, jumped and then hopped straight up and blocked the kick. And you and I were talking about that with Coach Cristobal. I mean, how do you practice that? You know, I mean, it's just, I guess you go look and see who's got our best vertical jump, and that's who we put in.
Well, that was a tough way to lose the game. So he says that they've moved on. They're moving forward. We got an early game, 12 o'clock. Sometimes these 12 o'clock games can be problematic. We had the big crowd on Saturday. I think we're going to have a decent crowd this Saturday, but that energy's got to be there early, and the Hurricanes might have to supply their own energy. They got to get going early on in this game.
Well, I was at practice today, and, you know, the thing that we have to remember for Miami, playing early is okay because they practice early. I mean, they're on the field ripping and roaring at 9 a.m. So getting them ready for a noon kickoff is not a problem. But the tempo today was good. The energy was great today on, you know, all phases of the game, and everybody was up and at them. So they understand what's facing. Because one thing you have to remember in football is that the tape doesn't lie. So, you know, that offense understands what they're going to face from, you know, Duke and Manny Diaz's defense, and the defense understands, you know, the two wide receivers and the running back and the quarterback and the players on that side. So, you know, they are well aware of what's going on. Plus, Joe, they understand it's the month of November now. You got a chance to go, 1-0 four times in the month of November and get you exactly where you want to be.
This is the big month. We go to November, and Miami is playing relevant football. So we haven't had that for a long time. This should be a lot of fun. All right, I'll see you later this week. We got basketball coming up in hour number two. I'll be on the practice field tomorrow. We'll be at the stadium bright and early on Saturday.
I'll see you then, Joe. Have a great evening.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. joining us. Larry Bluestein comes up at 8 o'clock, and Jim Larrañaga comes up in about 8 minutes or so. And then Tricia Cullop will also be with us as well as we talk basketball on the Hurricane Hotline as we continue right after this.